Friends, if we abuse the destitute, or even just neglect our duties to them, then we will go to hell. That is the simple and sober teaching of the Lord Jesus found in St. Luke's Gospel today, and this point is the continuation of Christ's teaching from last week that we cannot serve two masters. As we saw last Sunday, having wealth is not sinful, and being poor is not virtuous. But the dangers of idolatrous servitude to wealth are real, as are the advantages of being poor in spirit in order to find interior freedom from disordered attachments to our possessions. And now the Savior unfolds a perfect parable of terrible power, which is designed to pierce even the hardest hearts. The rich man in this story is not given a proper name, though he is often called Dives, which is simply the Latin word for rich. And the beggar is called Lazarus, which is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Eleazar, meaning God is my help. Dives lives in high luxury, wears the finest clothes, and feasts every day on exquisite food. Lazarus, meanwhile, sits at the rich man's door in rags, starving and covered with wounds, which receive attention not from any human hand, but only from the dogs that lick his sores. Friends, the Lord Jesus paints a vivid picture of human misery. Notice that Dives is not actively or intentionally cruel to Lazarus. He just doesn't see him. Even at the front door of his house, this beggar is invisible to Dives because of the rich man's lifetime of self-centered looking away from the wretchedness of other people. And so Dives doesn't feed the beggar even with his garbage, simply because Lazarus is beneath his notice. But that changes instantly when both men die. Lazarus goes to paradise, to the bosom of Abraham, while Dives goes to torment, to the abode of the damned. Dives is damned for his culpable negligence, and Lazarus is comforted because of his misery and the injustices done to him. When Dives finally becomes aware of Lazarus and of the differences in their eternal destinies, then the rich man becomes a beggar. "Father Abraham," says Dives, "have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames." This request is simple and apparently reasonable, but there is a moral and metaphysical problem here which Dives does not yet grasp. "My child," Abraham replies, "remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours." In chapter 25 of St. Matthew's Gospel, the teaching of the Lord Jesus on the Last Judgment reveals that those of us who fail to feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, welcome the immigrant, clothe the naked, care for the sick, and visit the imprisoned, will be separated from him into the eternal fire of everlasting punishment. And here, in this parable of Lazarus and Dives, the Savior illustrates that sobering doctrine with a very sharp point. After Dives learns from Abraham that no improvement of his miserable condition is ever possible, he turns his attention to his five brothers, all of whom apparently live as he lived, in complete self-absorption. And so Dives asks Father Abraham to send a messenger from the dead to warn his brothers to change their lives, lest they join him in torment. But Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let your brothers listen to them." Dives then protests that a miraculous intervention will awaken his self-obsessed brothers to understand the danger they face through callous disregard of others. Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Then in the reply of Abraham to Dives, the Lord Jesus finally comes to the hard hinge of the parable on which turns our eternal destinies. If your brothers will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. Friends, as St. Paul teaches today in the second lesson, we cannot see God directly, but he is visible in all his works and above all in the Word made flesh. And if we cannot see the living God in his creation and know his purposes from his revealed word, it is because our arrogance and self-regard blind us to him in the same way Dives could not see Lazarus. If we do not allow the Bible and the church to teach us how to live by grace through faith, hope, and love to fulfill the law of love, then, like Dives, we are liable for our failures because of our culpable ignorance. So, what do Moses and the prophets tell us? Listen to the prophet Amos in today's first lesson. Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, woe to the complacent in Zion. Amos then denounces wanton revelry and the same self-indulgence demonstrated by Dives in today's parable. But please note, enjoying the fruits of the earth and the rewards of our hard work is not the problem. No, the problem is neglecting the needs of others while rolling in wretched excess and self-absorption. And so the psalmist sings, blessed is he who keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. Now, because we live in a peaceful and prosperous society with all the apparatus of a social welfare state, we very rarely see with our own eyes people living in deprivation, as Lazarus did. But degrading poverty of that kind and degree is still commonly found in too many places on earth. And so around the world, the church works to relieve abject suffering by providing direct services to help all people live with dignity. And one way of seeing and serving Lazarus in all of his guises is to support the church's work with our financial gifts. But there is a challenge for us today deeper than money, and it is found in learning to see the humanity of everyone we are inclined not to see at all. For example, the struggle to deal humanely with illegal immigration, and the refusal to acknowledge that babies in the womb are even human, are two variations on the same theme of rendering inconvenient people invisible. Out of sight, out of mind, out of my hands. But every human person is created in the image and likeness of God and possesses intrinsic dignity which makes demands on all other persons. This means that we are all connected to each other by a web of rights and duties bound up by love. But the challenge for each of us is to acknowledge and fulfill the duties we have to others. Here we should note that the commandments, which include thou shalt not, are all about helping us recognize and respect the human dignity of other persons, and thus to fulfill our moral obligations to them in the web of grace. Several examples can illustrate these obligations. Because every man, woman, and child is a person of infinite worth and intrinsic dignity, we do not kill them, even in the womb. We do not use them for pleasure, even in videos or photographs. We do not injure them by words or deeds, even on social media. We do not exploit them for our gain. We do not endanger them by our recklessness. We do not exclude them from the human community because we object to their presence among us. And we do not think or speak of them as less than human because of their origins, beliefs, or behaviors. Naturally, living in this way is much harder for us when other people break the law or choose not to live in keeping with their own human dignity. But we are charged, nonetheless, to remember and respect their dignity, even if they have forgotten or denied it, as happens far too frequently, sometimes in dreadful acts of destruction of self or others. But just imagine for a moment what life on this planet would be like if every single person lived according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There would be no crime or violence of any kind. Everyone would have the necessities of life and a welcome place in the human community. All diseases and addictions connected to our personal misconduct would disappear. All marriages would endure a lifetime. All children would know and be loved by their parents. And all persons would act for the common good, seeking the interests of others no less than their own. That does not happen, of course, because even those of us who believe the gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth that sets us free still live with the consequences of man's fall from grace. And we find that our hearts are in the grip of the mystery of lawlessness, leading us to harm ourselves and others through many kinds of self-absorption. And that is why the human race needs a savior in the first place. But, as Dives discovered, the time to accept our Savior through conversion, confession, contrition, and amendment of life is always today. Always, right now. Because one day, for each of us, tomorrow will not come. And so, right now, today and every day, we should follow the charge given by St. Paul to Timothy in today's second lesson, to pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness, and so lay hold of eternal life by living through God's grace according to our noble confession of faith that Jesus Christ is Lord.